to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB. This week, the GGB Podcast featured a discussion with Richard Boz Bosworth, the president and CEO of JC Hospitality Partners, which owns the Virgin Hotel Casino in Las Vegas, about its recent opening and its unique style of operation. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at IGT.com/peak. Since the legendary Hard Rock Las Vegas closed 2 years ago, its replacement was highly anticipated. The first Virgin Las Vegas was introduced in March 2021, owned by JC Hospitality Partners. For Richard Boz Bosworth, the CEO of the company, it's the culmination of a unique multi-operational concept that is quite new to Las Vegas. His vision and commitment to that plan has resulted in a unique and highly branded property just off the Las Vegas Strip that introduced Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment to the city as an operator of the casino. He spoke with me from his offices at Virgin via Zoom in July. Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Boz Bosworth, the owner of the Virgin Hotels, at least the head of the group that owns the Virgin Hotels. So Boz, thanks for joining us today, and congratulations on getting that open in June, and I hear you've been knocking them dead so far.
Thank you. It's been a very, very exciting time for us. We really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your viewership today.
Sure. So tell us how the acquisition of the former Hard Rock Hotel came about. What kind of, I know it had been owned by several other companies over the last few years, but how did you come across it then?
Well, the acquisition business is always so much fun. Never frustrating, never tough at all.
Right.
We actually, our ownership group, I was in pursuit of the Fountain Blue.
Okay.
Dated back to 2016 and 2017, and we were in actually due diligence 2017 specifically, mm-hmm. and literally happened to get a call from the owner of the Hard Rock at the time, saying that they heard that we were in town, that my group was looking to acquire a casino hotel, heard a little bit about our multi-operator business plan, thought their property, the Hard Rock, would actually suit itself well to our strategies. And at that point, we just switched gears and thought it would be much easier and much more functional and economic faster to market to acquire the Hard Rock and rebrand it and transform it, you know, per our plan.
Sure, absolutely.
And a year later, we closed the transaction.
Right. I always loved the Hard Rock. When I used to come in from the East Coast, I would stay at the Hard Rock, mainly because you could park right near it and get to your room in a minute. You know, it was like, unlike at MGM where it'd take you 20 minutes to walk from the car park to your room. So,
I can tell you funny stories about that as well.
Yeah.
It sometimes takes long. I've been able to drive to another property, get out and meet somebody faster than they actually were able to get from their room to the restaurant at the hotel they were staying at in some of the larger resorts.
Sure. And I always enjoyed the ambiance there, especially the employees. They always had such a great attitude. I remember when my friend Gary Selesner was running the property, he says, when you only have to limit the number of studs they have in their ear, you know, it's a pretty good place, you know. So
It's their family, and
yeah.
They have been, and it was always important from us at the very beginning that they took this this ride, this adventure,
sure,
with us.
So was there any discussion of keeping the Hard Rock theme? You know, I'm not sure what the agreement was between the Hard Rock International, the Seminole's own brand, and what they had, you know, previously at the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas.
No, there was not. We had a very specific plan to introduce two new brands or unrepresented brands, mm-hmm. or not widely represented brands into Las Vegas, that being specifically Hilton and Virgin, ultimately Mohegan,
right.
And of course we're supplemented by AEG and our restaurant partners as well. But the plan was always to transform and rebrand the property. Now, please let me state, we think the Hard Rock is an amazing brand. We owned it for 2 years,
sure,
almost 2 years as a,
yeah,
Hard Rock, and it was successful and profitable as a Hard Rock. But we wanted to take this property in this location, 4455 Paradise, to the next level. And in order to do so, we felt it needed to be augmented with demand generators that wanted to be in Vegas but currently didn't have access to properties,
uh-huh,
in Vegas.
Okay. So so tell me, you know, how did you get involved with Virgin and Richard Branson? You know, I know he's had this hotel chain in a lot of other areas, but this is the first one in Vegas. So how did you get involved with him?
Well, I was pursuing projects throughout the country with Virgin Hotel Group, specifically in Chicago and Las Vegas. And you know, he liked and Virgin Hotel Group liked our structure,
sure,
of bringing in a third party experienced gaming operator, mm-hmm, letting Virgin focus on what they do, having a very successful gaming operator focus on what they do, because that would have been a new business to them.
Sure.
So knowing that my business plan in order to do so with that multi-operator environment was a bit different, they liked that. That was comfortable for them. So together we were looking at properties for a number of years,
sure,
not only in Las Vegas, but other cities.
So why do you think the Virgin Hotel brand is really a powerful brand to be introduced into Las Vegas?
Well, I think not only is it Virgin Hotel brand, but I think Virgin as a brand,
right,
and it, the entire travel consortium, whether it be Virgin Holidays, whether it be the, mm-hmm, Virgin Airlines,
right,
whether it be the Virgin Cruise Ships, whether it be Virgin Galactic, it's a brand that resonates very well internationally. It resonates very well in North America. And it resonates very well in Las Vegas. We've really been embraced by the local community, which is such an important part of our business. And, you know, the 2.2 million residents that have supported the Hard Rock have been able to embrace Virgin as well. And that's helped bring them back in. And, you know, this was not coming in with a new trying to recreate what the Hard Rock did. It came in with an established name,
right,
an established brand, bringing in, you know, some of the wow factors that Virgin has throughout the world, and it's been very well accepted.
Okay, great. So tell me why you chose Mohegan. I know my friend Bobby Soper was your gaming advisor early on, and
yes,
obviously he played a role in that, but what really convinced you that Mohegan was the one to do this for you?
So when we bought the Hard Rock, we actually did run an RFP process with gaming operators, mm-hmm, around the world, many of them Native American,
mm-hmm,
many of them not. But the multi-operator plan really was birthed with Bobby Soper and myself,
yeah,
and Hilton, mm-hmm, frankly. Bobby spent a lot of time going back to 2015 and 2016, spending time in McLean, Virginia with me, going to visit the folks at Hilton, talking about the protocols, how these two very successful operators can work together, utilizing their databases, what would be important to their customers, what does the gaming customer need from a hotel, what the hotel customer is going to need as it relates to food and beverage and interaction with gaming and entertainment. So Bobby was incredibly critical to the entire process. Bobby and I, it's a great story in how we met, but it was in New York City over a glass of water at 11 o'clock in the morning on a late December, and 4 hours later me and his crew were on a plane to Las Vegas to take a look at some projects together, because,
yeah,
they bought on very, very quickly to the multi-operator environment, specifically how that interacts with smart capital,
mm-hmm,
and lowering your cost of capital, which of course is very important to every operator, to remove some of those guns to your head that an operator experiences with the wrong capital stack.
Right. Okay, great. So, you know, Mohegan was really the first tribal gaming enterprise to open in Las Vegas. And of course, now we have San Manuel at the Palms in Vegas as well. Do you see this as a trend now? Do you think there's going to be more tribes, you know, keeping an eye on what's going on in Las Vegas?
So, interesting. To get involved or enter the market in Las Vegas is a time-consuming process.
Right.
And I myself have been dealing with a number of the Native American sovereigns and nations going back to 2014, 2015,
mm-hmm,
about entering Las Vegas, where there was value for them to do so, how they could extrapolate and grow their database, how they can compete with some of the larger public companies. So I don't believe this is actually a new trend. I think what you're starting to see now is the results of years of work to get to this point. Yes, Mohegan, we're so proud for Mohegan to be that groundbreaking first Native American sovereign nation to enter the resort corridor. And it was not surprising to me to see San Manuel, and it will not be surprising me for us to see certainly one or two more in the relatively near future.
Sure.
But the trend isn't just started. This trend has started. It's now just coming through fruition.
Okay, great. So let's talk about Hilton. I mean, you mentioned that they were looking to get back into Las Vegas after running the Las Vegas Hilton for so many years. And now not only are they with your property, they just opened with Resorts World down the street. So was that part of their plan? Did you know that was part of their plan early on, that it wouldn't be just with Virgin?
Yes, we knew that we didn't have an exclusivity with Hilton in Las Vegas market. We had an exclusivity and an area of protection and marketing for the Curio franchise and brand.
Okay.
So we knew that, but the reality is with a company like Hilton or even with Marriott, Marriott's got a lot of product in town.
Right.
These large hotel companies with these very large pipelines and demand pipelines have a very diverse segmentation of customers, mm-hmm. whether it be group and events,
right.
whether it be Hilton Honors in this case, whether it be FIT, leisure, travel, and there's plenty to go around. What's really interesting about our databases, whether it be Hilton, Mohegan, AEG, Virgin, when you take a look at where they are worldwide in their collective databases, which are well in excess of 200 million, only about 2.5% of their current inventory was worldwide, was in Las Vegas.
Right.
And you compare that to an MGM,
right.
just as purely as an example, certainly a powerhouse that has a 55, 60 million customer active database, but has 83% of their worldwide inventory in this location.
Right.
So for a Hilton and a Mohegan and a Virgin in a Virgin Group with all the different travel companies, there was so much unmet demand, and we're already seeing this play out.
Sure. Well, Joe Hassan explained to me the power of all of these databases, certainly of the Hilton and Mohegan database. Have you seen a lot of response from that so far?
Oh yeah, I mean we're actively booking business through all channels. It's been remarkable, but every channel that we have from a marketing perspective has been contributing to the early success.
Okay, great. So let's talk about the property. Did you renovate the entire property, every hotel room? Because some of it was relatively new, right? I mean, the tower at Hard Rock, was what, 5 years old, if not even newer than that.
The last tower that entered the market in 2011, but it was in excellent shape.
Yeah, sure.
We renovated actually every inch the front of the house of the property, including the 5-acre pool deck, as well as the sense of arrival, the landscaping. You can see in the front even the cafe, and there was a broken structured building in the front that we took down, opening up the 2 acres, so you have truly a true resort sense of arrival when you come in,
right.
To the property. We're able to add more parking, but every inch of this property, from the front of the house perspective, as well as much of the exterior of the property, has been renovated.
Okay, great. So the thing that...
Including all rooms, including right. all 1,500
okay,
rooms.
Okay, all the rooms as well. Okay, great. So the thing that really shocked me was when I walked in there is that the center bar was gone. I mean, that was such a signature for Hard Rock. What was behind that decision?
I'm going to tell a little bit of a story with that, because it was a decision that we made very early on, and I will explain, our reasoning, because obviously it was a very successful bar for many, many years, and in fact, it was a trend-setting
sure.
design element, I think, for many
it was,
casinos
yeah.
and mm-hmm. that were built beyond that, beyond, Peter Morton's, success with the Hard Rock back in 1995 and on and onward. I used to tell the team, and it's probably getting a little old, they don't like hear it any longer, that I love puppies and I love slot machines and I love puppy slot machines. But when you walk in the first 10 feet, the first thing that hits you with is a puppy slot machine. That's not the hospitality sense of arrival that I right. think today's traveler, today's generation of traveler are looking for. So we pushed back the gaming floor about 40, 50 feet, not okay. much, to right. basically open up that lobby for traditional hospitality as well as hotel arrival. Additionally, the center bar blocked all line of sights, to our restaurant row in the back. You couldn't
right.
see it. It was actually pretty confusing from a wayfarer standpoint, and it also chopped up the gaming floor. So what we did is we, and again, I joked, I made it the off-center bar. We literally picked up the bar, enhanced it and enlarged it and grew it from a capacity standpoint, moved it about 60 feet off center to the right. Mm-hmm. So it's we still have a great bar, the bar at the Commons Club in the Shag Room, which combined is about 8,500 square feet, larger than what the, you know, that the actual Pure Bar itself. But when you had that bar in the middle, it ate up 10,000 square feet of gaming space with so many of the services. So we were actually able to add 10,000 square feet more of gaming to our floor, open it up so it wasn't restrictive, so you had to travel around it to get to tables, so you had a better, opened up the line of sight, and yet still preserve the energy and the action of that bar, which we now have to bar at the Commons Club in the Shag Room.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So another signature of the property was the pool area. I mean, it had a reality show based around it, and it was a pretty crazy, wild party area. But mm-hmm. you completely redesigned that as well. What was the thoughts behind that?
It was location. First, you know, we I want to say that we, you know, ceased to rehab in at the end of 2018, mm-hmm. Knowing that we were getting ready to embark upon a renovation. I like to describe our backyard, our 5 acres of our pool deck, is like a baseball diamond. And if you visualize a baseball diamond, rehab was out in center field.
Right.
And the staging and the party was in center field with all the music blasting up into the hotel rooms, the casino tower, right. And what was at the time, which is now the Canyon Tower, what was also at the time called the Paradise Tower. And it reverberated. As well as it didn't give you a sense of arrival because you had to come through the Paradise Garage.
Sure, right.
But what really was a big difference for me is our event space and our conference facility is all located in that section of the resort. So we had the opportunity to move the party pool, which we now have mm-hmm. as Ilia Beach Club, to home plate,
right.
Which was formerly the Nirvana pool. And now it had 5 acres to absorb the music. As well as and the party, but additionally, we were able to create 17,000 square foot event lawn, mm-hmm. Which now is contiguous to our other 123,000 square feet of event space. So it's all located in one area of the resort, and it feeds off each other. So you can go from the event lawn into the Sage Ballroom, into Agave, into our Expo Center, to some of our hospitality suites. So it really, from a sales and marketing and a group event standpoint, which is a very, very important part of our business, specifically Sunday through Thursday, it really brought that entire aspect of the property together while giving us the ability to do a beautiful new day club, Ilia Beach, which is two levels. We were able to join two pools together, mm-hmm. build a bar, build more restaurants, and it actually increase its capacity. Additionally, we were able to fill in the Lazy River, which was part of rehab, where we built something that's very unique to the Las Vegas Resort Corridor, which is really a restaurant promenade where restaurants such as Olive's and mm-hmm. Cassie Beach and Casa Calavera, as examples, and Nobu, can literally open up onto this restaurant promenade.
Sure, sure. Well, that's a good transition into food and beverage. I mean, this plays into your multi-operator idea here, having all these different restaurants with some of these celebrity chefs and also just some great food. What was the thoughts behind setting up the F&B that way?
Well, clearly F&B, multiple operators in F&B is not unique. I think Right. pretty much most operators do that today. Our feeling was, again, we needed to build an ecosystem of food and beverage that was going to work well with the other aspects of the property, whether it be the new theater, whether it be the enhanced and improved gaming floor, whether it be our brand new 1500 rooms and the demand generators, as well as meet some of the needs of today's new travel habits and today's generation. When I speak of multi-operator, really it's the bifurcation of gaming, mm-hmm. entertainment, and hotel within three different operators. And the thinking behind that in part was to also grow the database, but it was to take experts in their field,
right.
those that wanted to be very competitive in Las Vegas, and make them stronger. The typical reaction that you would have gotten from the old guard in gaming, and trust me, I've had a lot of doors slammed on me when I described, you know, this theory, this investment thesis, to by the old school of gaming operators, is that they would, the knee-jerk reaction is you can't separate it because gaming operators, gaming customers need this, hotel customers need this, and how are you going to get them to work together? The reality is that in any business operation, hospitality operation, and even those that are under one operator or ownership, you have inherent conflicts, whether it be between gaming, hotel, gaming, food and beverage, hotel and entertainment. What we did is we sat in a room with these magnificent and incredibly skilled operators, and again, with the help of Mohegan, and identified all the needs of what the customers were, and we built around it. We built these programs around it. So this was something that the customer would never have to see or experience. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. You come in, you don't know really who the operator is from one outlet to the other, because they're all working together with one voice, one team, one goal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things I'm most proud about over the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, as we've been fully activated, is how all the operators, including food and beverage, are not only embracing each other, but how the food and beverage operators are embracing each other and realizing that the ecosystem is great for them to basically grow their businesses together and to keep everybody in house for as long as they possibly can and attract not only the local guests, which are such an important microphone, our loudest microphone in the community, but also to bring in guests off the strip and the resort corridor from other properties.
Okay, great. The Peak family of top-performing cabinets by IGT are accumulation of years of research and development, a passion leveraging both internal expertise and customer feedback. The results are a series of astounding cabinets that command attention with sleek modern features, ergonomically perfected curves, and bold design. Every aspect of the Peak cabinets have been scrutinized to ensure a comfortable gaming experience resulting in exceptional performance you can bank on. Learn more at igt.com/peak. And now back to our podcast. You know, another signature of Hard Rock was the entertainment with the joint. And frankly, I was always a little disappointed in the sound in the joint. It was a little cavernous, and the sound bounced around a lot. And how have you redesigned that theater experience there now at Virgin?
I want to appreciate you recognizing that, because I actually experienced it myself mm-hmm. as well. Although I had been here as a consumer and as a guest prior to the acquisition,
right.
I was here a lot more, obviously, in almost every event in the joint, you know, post acquisition. And I noticed that as well. There mm-hmm. was a reverberation, particularly when you were sitting in the VIP suites area looking down. But we had an opportunity to spend about $1 million to $1.5 million on sound equipment to help that. And our partner AEG did a great job in really redesigning and reestablishing the guest experience mm-hmm. with new bars, new VIP services. It's spectacular. It's great. Yeah. We're thrilled. We've got 24 shows. As of 2 days ago, it was 24 shows booked in the last quarter of this year, and it may have even grown. I think I've seen two more bookings come in. But we work very, very closely with AEG on that theater, on that operation, and driving content that will really activate the entire property besides just the theater.
Sure, I'm looking forward to going there for the first time since it was a joint, and you do have some great acts coming in. So have you been getting a good response to the entertainment there?
Yes, fabulous. I mean, we've had a couple of shows sold out within an hour. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in part to your point that we do have some great shows, but I think the general public is so hungry for entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see what's gone on at Allegiant Stadium over the last couple of weeks with some of the concerts there, particularly Garth Brooks.
Yeah. Well, I always liked the vinyl showroom as well. I've been to the Casino Entertainment Awards, I think, every year for the last 5 years. And also, you know, it's just a nice, nice little room, very comfortable room. And I know you didn't change that too much, right?
We did. We spent $250,000 in the room. We cleaned it up, some new flooring, mm-hmm. painted it, added a few new elements. But the actual elements of the room itself is always very, very exciting.
Right.
And fun. And that's what we really wanted. We changed the name from Vinyl to 24 Oxford.
Okay.
24 Oxford is actually the address of the first Virgin record store in London.
Oh, really? Okay.
So we thought we should pay testimony to Sir Richard and what he did in his world of music.
Yeah.
We've had to show 27 in, which has been highly successful. But it's really a multi-purpose room that could take comedy, it could take small acts. And it's just, you know, again, we've got the larger showroom, of course, in the theater, and to have 24 Oxford, which can offer smaller acts and make me more intimate acts. But you're right, it's a fun room. Sometimes it always reminds me of kind of a hangouts I used to do in the 70s. Yeah. You know, I'm probably dating myself there, but it was very casual. It's very easy. And it's very fun, and you come as you will.
Sure. You know, sometimes people forget that Virgin, with all the various brands they have, started out as a record store. You know, so
it started it's out nice that you're honoring. He started as a producer, right? He was right. A producer for Sex Pistols, so mm-hmm. He started out in the music world of music as well.
Right. Yeah. No question. So you know, you mentioned a lot of elements for meetings and conventions there. So I imagine that's going to be a major push. Certainly, in the winter when people like to come to Vegas for that kind of thing.
It's really one of our most important investment thesis was growing the what was already successful event business mm-hmm. with the Hard Rock,
right.
But taking it to another volume, which is why we've added about 30,000 square feet of additional event space. It's a very, very important part of our business. One of the reasons, too, that we're affiliated with Hilton. Hilton has 16 national sales offices that drive group business as well.
Right.
I'm sure Scott, is feeling, will feel that benefit as well over at Resorts
sure.
World.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a significant part of our business is driving groups and events, not only, of course, to service the citywides, but also the self-contained group events at the property.
Sure. Great. So, lots of casinos in Vegas have now returned to paid parking. What's your stance on paid parking at Virgin?
As a Hard Rock, it was always free and complimentary parking, mm-hmm. valet or self-parking.
Right.
We currently are free for self-parking, and that will remain.
Mm-hmm.
I see no reason to change that. We will be implementing a paid-for-valet.
Okay. All right. Great. So, how does the current uptick in business help Virgin? You really opened at just the right time when people started to come back to Vegas. And has that really had an impact on your success so far?
Sometimes better lucky than smart, right? So,
right.
So rising tides, right? So we are clearly feeling the impact of the increase in the traffic flow to Las Vegas. It was a great time for us to open fully activated. We did open on March 25th, soft opening,
right.
And it was a build under 50% restrictions at that time, 6 mm-hmm. feet social distancing. But now, of course, as we really had our grand opening on June 10th and 11th and 12th,
right.
As the market fully opened on June 1st was, absolutely, helpful. I've never experienced a property that has gotten to 100% of its fair market share so quickly.
Yeah.
We literally are there already. Mm-hmm. And my expectation level is that sometimes could take anywhere from 6 months to a year. But we are currently right now pacing from an occupancy standpoint with the market, with the resort corridor market. The weekends we're selling out every weekends. Our midweek business is increasing twofold every week. And now we're up to or very close to market occupancies for midweek as well. And we're seeing a significant uptick as well in our group and event business. I've never seen anything like that as it relates to that growth.
Sure. Well, let's talk about gaming for a second. Hard Rock mm-hmm. always had a very good table game business, not so good slot business. Sometimes I remember one of the former GMs of the property telling me he made more on the weekends in beverage revenue than he did in slot revenue, which is not good. I'm sure it's a little more even now, especially that Mohegan's in charge. So how is the balance working out there in terms of slots versus tables?
Yeah, more specific standpoint would let Joe Hassan, our captain for gaming, handle that. But I would tell you that it is very balanced. And I think that's one of the reasons we were looking for an operator like Mohegan.
Right.
So we could have that balance in gaming. Look, it's still a party environment here, right? It was a party
sure.
environment
right.
in Hard Rock.
Yeah.
It's a party environment here. And that party environment also leads to table game play. I could tell you anecdotally and from a visual, I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
But I think Joe would be best to answer the question more
sure,
specifically.
I've got to check back in with him too after we did it early on here. So
he'll give you a much better answer than I just did.
So what did What did the presence of Richard Branson have toward the success of this property? I mean, he was certainly very visible during the grand opening there. I mean, I saw videos of him and pictures of him. You know, he was certainly available to everybody. Is that going to be an important part of going forward here with the success of your hotel?
I'll tell you personally, I had to take 3 suits to the dry cleaner the following day and probably ruined a pair of shoes just by getting dunked all day long with his champagne bottles. I seemed to be a target of his. He would shake them up and he would spray the media or the general public, and I was close by, so yeah. He seemed to have some level of recreation in dunking me in champagne. He was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, when he walked around on Friday the 11th with the Master of the Keys, going from restaurant to restaurant, ceremoniously opening all these doors, meeting with some of our culinarians. But I think more importantly than that, he just loves the guests.
Yeah.
He is the epitome of hospitality. And it's really, I mean, with all his fame,
right,
and all his recognition worldwide, he stops to talk to the guest.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the things that's really different about our entire environment. You know, our ownership group, you know, here we office on property. And we're on the floor and we're talking to the guests and we're greeting the guests. And it's a little bit of an old school scenario. And he certainly is a shining example of hospitality, the way he interacts. It was so much fun watching him talk and intermingle with hotel guests and gaming guests and food and beverage guests. We, you know, we had lunch on Friday before he left, and, you know, he hadn't shared with us, you know, his date for launch,
right.
But you could tell he was very busy doing something,
right.
But even guests coming up to our table at Cassie Beach House, which he loved, by the way, you know, I think he was there like 4 times in 2 days. He just loved that restaurant. Anybody came up to the table, he stopped and talked.
Hmm.
He talked to them. He gave them eye contact. He was remarkable.
Right. Great. That's great. So, you know, always when you open a new property, there's some adjustments that have to be made. I mean, it doesn't sound like you had to make too many here, you know, since you're hitting your targets already.
I don't think we're making any adjustments as it relates to our business plan, mm-hmm. or investment thesis or even our projections. I think what we're making an adjustment to is we're finding out little areas of the renovation that needs to be tweaked.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably come back within the next year, spend another $15 to $20 million potentially, and maybe enhance some areas, go back, do some things a little bit differently. One of the areas, frankly, is a change that we're making over the next 5 weeks, which is, you know, you're required from a safety perspective to have fencing by the pools, as we do, of course, you know, following code. And we're going to change some of that fencing from iron to glass.
Okay.
So you can see, so the visual better. Again, it's not a big spend.
Right.
You know, it's a couple $100,000 relatively, you know, compared to, you know, the overall, you know, resort renovation. But those are things that we're going back in. Maybe there's a spot on the wall there that could use a mural.
Right.
Maybe there's another branding opportunity over here, or maybe we could use another food and beverage area over there. So I think as we're learning more about the property, we're learning more about the ecosystem, we're developing some improvements that will enhance the operation further, but nothing as it relates to overall plan.
Okay, great. All right, one last question, and this has to do with something I mentioned earlier about how the employees were always so friendly there, so open, and you committed to rehiring most of the employees from the Hard Rock days, and you know, they had to wait, you know, a year or so to get their jobs back. But how did you convince them that they needed to come back?
Well, I didn't really have to convince them,
really, yeah.
And I wasn't going to take this ride without them.
Yeah.
So, but what we did have is, and I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud of them and their family. Mm-hmm. The way they embraced the ownership group from the very first day we bought the property was so remarkable. We knew that they were the most important aspect of this acquisition was the team members here. But we gave them about 18 months notice towards the closure. 7-8 months, very specifically with a date,
mm-hmm.
For closure. But we also offered them what we called the stick around and come back program, because we did realize that knowing that we were announcing so far in advance that the property would be closed and they would be without jobs. Of course, this was pre-COVID.
Right, sure.
Many months
right.
before yep. COVID, before COVID took impact. We were afraid that just naturally they would have to do and take care of themselves.
Sure, of course.
So what we did is we offered a stick around and came back program, which offered everybody a retention bonus based on their tenure, mm-hmm. And how many years they've been on property. We offered them, we removed all caps on their personal time off accruals. We paid them out 100% of their PTO accruals. Because we laid them off, they were able to go in and apply for unemployment. And I think one of the things that we were committed to, because we wanted them to take the journey with us, is we were guaranteed they all had their job back with their same seniority without an interview, despite the fact that they could be working for new operators.
Sure.
And 92% of the Hard Rock team members stayed till the very last day. And of that 92%, 90% of those 92% came back.
Wow. Well, that's a credit to the hotel and to your commitment to them. So congratulations on that.
Well, and I'm very lucky they did.
Yeah. Well, Buzz, thanks for taking the time to do this. I'm excited to see it, and I'm certainly going to have to go to one of the shows there. I have to go through the list and see who excites me most. We'll definitely be in the theater there to check it out, and maybe we can get together when we do that.
I'd love that. I'd love to see you when you get here in person. You'll find me. I'm generally bouncing around the floor.
I'm sure. Well, thanks for the time, and good luck, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your interest. All you backroom
schemers, power trip dreamers. Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, with special thanks to IGT and its Peak family of performance-driven and player-tested cabinets. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at igt.com/peak. To learn more about the Virgin Hotel and its place in the Las Vegas market, visit ggbmagazine.com. For all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the recovery from the pandemic, delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.